Welcome to Five of the Best. This week is going to be about 2004 and the events that happened then. Some of the things that caught my eye this year was we started the year with Boob Gate, Janet Jackson, enough said. Britney Spears got married twice and everyone just took a little step back from her, thinking, yeah. And our Google Mail started this year as well. In 2004, Spaceship One won the $10 million prize for the X Prize, the first manned private spacecraft to reach a height of 100 kilometers or 62 miles twice within a period of 2 weeks. The rules also state that only 10% of the craft can be replaced during the two flights. This would not have been possible without the funding of Microsoft's Paul Allen, who gave $25 million for the project to go ahead. The flight lasts about an hour and comes in two stages, with Spaceship One strapped to the belly of White Knight, a purpose-built aircraft, which also serves as a simulator for Spaceship One. Not White Knight then takes it to a height of 10,000 feet, where Spaceship One is then released. Spaceship One has a hybrid motor, a rocket motor, to propel the craft up to Mach 3, and with a burn time of just 80 seconds, it has to reach a ceiling height of 100 kilometers, and it does this at two-thirds of a mile every second. And the experiences experienced by the pilots, Mike Neville, was 5G getting up there. Oh, and one other thing. The Spaceship One must have two seats for passengers. Once at its ceiling height of 100 kilometers, Spaceship One has a rotating folding wing, which sounds pretty scary, but this is to add stability on the downwards trip. I'm going to talk about one of the test flights. I have a Test Flight 11, which took place on December the 17th, 2003, and this was the marked the anniversary of the Wright brothers' first powered flight of 234 feet. And I just think it's amazing that in the space of 100 years, there's now spacecraft taking passengers up into space. On the 29th, the first flight actually. The spacecraft Spaceship One reached a height of 202 kilometers, and 11 days later, Spaceship One flew again and reached a height of 116 kilometers above the Earth, and thus winning the X Prize. And if you're interested to go on a flight, you can go on a flight for $200,000 a flight, bargain. In 2004, we saw the autobiographical drama The Aviator, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Blanchett. The plot follows a young Howard Hughes as he inherits a fortune from his family. The family was involved in the oil drilling equipment for the oil fields, and it follows him at 19. But the real story starts when he is 22, when he starts to finance the film Hell's Angels, which is a film about the First World War fighter pilots, and a lot of the film was shot in the air with plane to plane, and the aerial combats were very expensive. And when the film was released in 1930, it could have been a folly, but it was a huge success to everyone's surprise. And the film then follows when a young Howard, or more mature Howard Hughes, becomes romantically involved with Eva Gardner and Katharine Hepburn, among others. It follows Howard Hughes as he makes the Howard Hughes Racer, H1, and Howard Hughes takes the control of the Hughes aircraft and sets a new land speed record of land airspeed record of 352 miles an hour. But one of my favourite parts of the film is another flying scene when Howard Hughes takes control of US Air Force reconnaissance plane, and when he takes off, and immediately he's in trouble with an air leak, an oil leak, and this means him to crash in the Hollywood Hills, smashing into three houses, And the scene is one of my favourite parts, and whoever did that did a very good job. The film ends with Howard Hughes taking control of the Hughes H4, or better known as the Spruce Goose. It was designed to have a range of 3,000 miles and fly at an altitude of 20,000 feet, but it flew just the once for about a mile and a half at a height of about 70 feet. The film shows the story of a remarkable man, and the film itself, the first 50 minutes of the film were shot in shades of red, blue and green, or better known as BIPEC film, which the people at the time would have shot with. But from 1935 onwards, the film was shot with Technicolor. The film itself was nominated for 11 Oscars, and it won five, mostly in the technical department. But also Best Supporting Actress went to Kate Beckinsale. The total cost of the film was $110 million, and it had a box office of $230 million. So, okay. In 2004, in Taiwan, in the capital of Taiwan, Taipei, we saw the opening of Taipei 101, which became the world's tallest building in the world, beating the old record by 7 metres, the Buddhist Towers, or better known as the Sears Towers, one of the ugliest skyscrapers you'll ever see, as opposed to Taipei 101, which is one of the prettiest. It looks like a piece of bamboo just stuck in the ground. Taipei 101 was called that because of the number of floors it has above ground, although there are 5 floors below ground. Building in Taipei and building in Taiwan is always fraught with difficulty because the area is a very seismically active area, and to counter this, they dug the foundations deep, and they have in fact built foundations went down 60 meters and right to the bedrock, and they fused 340 cemented pillars to the bedrock, and so Taipei 101 doesn't sit on the earth, it is in fact fused to the earth. And this was tested when in 2002 Taipei was struck by a 6.5 earthquake, and although it brought down some buildings, Taipei 101 was stood. One thing that Taipei 101 is famous for is the golden ball in the middle, the dampener. It's a 360 golden ball, which is there to counteract any winds the building suffers, or any earthquake. It acts like a pendulum in a clock and adds stability to the building. But to get a 360 ton ball 300 feet in the air is quite an achievement. In fact, it lives in between floor 87 and 92. And lastly, some facts about Taipei 101. The height of the building is 449 metres, however the pinnacle is 10 metres above that, and it did have the fastest elevators in the world. They travel at 37 miles an hour, and they are the elevators are all pressurised to stop your ears bursting, and I think they cost, they said, £2.3 million per elevator. In 2004, we saw the launch of the new Cunard flagship, the Queen Mary II, to replace the Queen Elizabeth II, whose future still seems in doubt whether it's going to be used as a hotel or broken up for scrap. The first Queen Mary, in fact, was another transatlantic liner, and that sailed from 1936 to 1967. And upon retirement, it was sailed to Long Beach and was used as a tourist, or is used as a tourist attraction, with museums, hotels, and a restaurant, and is in fact listed by the US government as a site of national history. The Queen Mary II was designed, or is a transatlantic liner, and sailing between Southampton and New York, which takes 6 nights and costs £950 for cheap seats and £3,569 for most expensive tickets. And when you fly across the Atlantic for £500, there's only one way to do this, make it or make it more attractive, and that's make it as luxurious as possible and get as many people on it as possible. With the boat costing nearly $1 billion, the owners wanted to add as many outdoor balconies as they possibly could, and there are in fact 600 cabins with outdoor balconies, and this came with a cost to the boat, is making it, the boat too big to pass through the Panama Canal, and thus adding a 15,000 mile journey to go around the world, having to go sail around Cape Horn. Here's a few stats about the QM2. She is 350 metres long, 72 metres tall, and 45 metres wide. And her weight is 148,000 tonnes. The boat or the ship has got five swimming pools, four outdoor, one inside. There is 3,500 acres of external decking. There's room for 2,600 passengers and 1,200 crew. The top speed is 30 knots. She can hold 1 million litres of water, fresh water, and she holds 1 million gallons of fuel. And in 2008, the cost of fuel, which was sold by the ton, was £650 per ton, which sounds cheap to me. And this means that top speed, traveling at top speed, the QM2 travels, its miles per gallon is 49 feet per gallon. In 2004, we saw the Athens Olympics, and one person took a step to greatness, Michael Fred Phillips II. 4 years earlier, at the age of 15, he was placed fifth in the men's 200 metre butterfly, but in 2004, there was no stopping Phillips with two bronze medals and six gold medals. And 4 years later, in 2008, he did one better than Mark Spitz, who in 1972 won seven gold medals in seven world record times. In 2008, Mike Phillips won eight gold medals in seven world record times. And in 2012, in the London Olympics, he added this total by another four golds, giving him a grand total of Olympic medals of 18 golds, two silvers and two bronze. No, 18. Oh, is that right? In cricket, Brian Lara regains the individual test innings scored in one match from Michael Hayden, Australian Michael Hayden, so there's one bright point, with 400 runs not out against England for the West Indies. For those who don't know much about cricket, 400 runs for the complete side is a good score. To score 400 runs on your own is exceptional. In the same year, Australian Shane Warne took his 500th test wicket, and he went on to be the leading all-time test wicket taker. And in other sports, Michael Schumacher took his seventh Grand Prix title, and in the US Open, Federer beat Leighton Hewitt 6-love, 7-6, 6-love.